Welcome back, folks. Breaking here, we have a flash flood warning for Orleans Parish and St. Bernard Parish up until 2:56 p.m. this afternoon. And Michael, if we go with your theory of red lights getting wet and going out and blinking, this could be a problem in the very near future.
Yeah, it'll be slow going this afternoon. But hopefully it clears up the rest of the day, and this is just kind of like a typical tropical day, and not we had Memorial Day weekend where it was strangely just like European rain the whole weekend. This is, you know, I can deal with a little hard rain, and then it clears up and the birds come out.
Absolutely. We have a special guest that joins us, Michael.
Yeah, a good friend of mine, Chris Abadi. He is the senior vice president at Colliers, and I'm glad he's coming on because he recently wrote an article for City Business that talked about how we've had more than $44 billion in industrial development underway across every parish. And so it's great to have somebody to come on and talk about this, because I would suggest that people deal with what I say on a strictly trust but verify basis.
That's why you have these friends, right? To help you.
That's why I have these quote friends. By the way, Chris, what's your Venmo again? I just want to make sure I take care of you now before I forget.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate that. First, you know, it's always hard to follow the Roastmaster General, Michael Heck, but I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, Chris, at the risk of ruining your reputation, thank you so much for joining us today. Michael Heck.
Thanks,
show.
Thank you for having me, Noel. I appreciate it.
Brave man.
So tell folks about Colliers, what you do, and obviously you recently penned a submission for City Business that really runs counter to what a lot of people are thinking and sometimes believing about where we are today.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I mean, at Colliers, we're the third largest market cap commercial real estate company in the world. We made a choice to come to, previously I was with a regional real estate company that's well respected in this market, and made the choice to move over to Colliers about 2 years ago. What Colliers saw in our geography was a lot of potential at that time. We saw institutional capital looking back at New Orleans for the first time probably in about 40 years. And so it made sense to bring a large national platform here with the resources that we have available to us from outside the geography to focus on our geography. And it's been very successful over the last 2 years. But, you know, specifically what I see today, and the reason I penned the article, I was sitting at the Jano Inc. luncheon and actually listening to Michael, which I've attended that luncheon many years in a row. And this was the first year that I really felt like the shift was made where Michael wasn't trying to sell New Orleans anymore. He was talking about the actual real wins we were having, plus the additional potential that could go forward in the future, which was a fundamental shift. And really just got a different feeling leaving that meeting that day. And it was the precipice for me writing the article.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, just to interrupt for 1 second. We talk a lot internally. And actually, I was talking to the JBC in Jefferson yesterday about this, that we really had to play defense for about a decade. And it's really only over the past year that we've kind of pivoted to moving back on to offense. And so it's interesting you picked that up, because that's very much how we feel here at Jano Inc.
So when we look, So where do we stand now? So as your perspective, kind of the state of the state.
Well, the state of the state, I think the state's in a great position. You know, there was some, I think it was Site Selection Magazine came out yesterday and named us the eighth, I forget exactly what the terminology they used was. The Prosperity Cup, we landed eighth, second in the South Central region, you know, behind Texas, who was number one overall. But we also, you know, what was important about that is we were ahead of Alabama and we were ahead of Georgia. Actually, Georgia was above us, but we were ahead of Alabama and South Carolina, some of these states that you typically hear about, you know, over and over again in economic development circles. And as Secretary Bourgeois has said in open meetings, you know, many times recently, the perception of Louisiana is probably lower in Louisiana than it is outside of Louisiana today. And that bleeds down into the local economic development engines as well. I mean, we have a ton of success that's been going on in our region, and it's not just one parish. I mean, typically we've seen successes, you know, maybe a one-off deal in Plaquemine, or in St. Charles or in St. Tammany. Right now, we're having economic development wins in every parish in the region, which is a real testament to a lot of different things. But, Gano Inc. is a great example of that. I mean, but it, you know, in St. Charles, we have Southern Energy Renewables, $1.4 billion methanol plant. And sustainable aviation fuel facility that's being built. St. Bernard has numerous wins. SSE Steel Fabrication has, 300% revenue growth in the last 2 years. That's an amazing growth for, and also a sign of, growth in terms of what's going to be built, because that's a company that actually fabricates steel. They also have a partnership with Persona AI to develop humanoid robot technology, which is, and they're going to be cutting edge across the world. It could be used everywhere, and it's going to be emanating from here. There's just so many wins across all the different parishes. Plaquemines, what people know about Plaquemines and the Venture Global's plant there, has been in the media a lot, but they may not understand there's a second LNG plant, the Gulfstream LNG terminal, that's in development there as well. St. Tammany has some huge wins, but most notably, if you think about the opportunity to grow businesses in our region, you look at what's happening with Global Star. It was a homegrown business that became, in essence, a worldwide business that is now, being courted by Amazon at an over $11 billion market cap rate. I mean, that's just an astronomical business that was grown here in the New Orleans region.
So, this confluence of all of this, I mean, it's really interesting when you say it's like happening in almost every parish, because I know in my lifetime, and I'm sure, Michael, you would agree, in your lifetime, I've never seen this in the state. I mean, I remember the original oil boom, the couple of iterations of that, where the southern half of the state really was just blowing and going, but I've never seen it like this, where all
this is unprecedented. I mean, just LED has announced $107 billion of real projects in the past 2 years. That's a magnitude greater than anything we've ever seen, if not more. So it is something that's new and different.
I was just going to say, but we really don't, I guess it's a confluence of a number of different factors and timing, luck, all kinds of different things that are going on. But would that be fair to say that it's not just one or two things?
No, I definitely would agree with that. I mean, what's the old adage that, luck happens when preparation meets opportunity. And the work that we're done, the alignment that we have from the federal, state, and local levels in these different jurisdictions, I think, is a key component, but also the preparation that's been done by GNO Inc., by the local economic development organizations in the different parishes, by LED, all being aligned, communicating effectively together, really has placed us in a position to win for the first time. I mean, one of the what seems like a small example, could be used when you're talking about like Textron buying a building in Slidell, Louisiana from the city of Slidell. What's important about that is when you look at it, they're actually buying that building for back office support. So that's a strong signal to the market that they're going to ramp up their manufacturing, those basic jobs in our community going forward for a long period of time. They're not just leasing where they can expand or contract very quickly. These are going to be white collar jobs that are there. They're going to use that facility for training. They're going to use it for, bringing people for procurement and different back office support staff to supplement what they're doing in the region. Those are strong signals for the future of what we're trying to accomplish.
And a lot of times, folks here, and it's not unique to New Orleans. I mean, this is across the country, anywhere in the world. We have the common man, common Joe, lady has a problem connecting these dots, right? But it builds from, as you talked about, these back office operations where they start hiring there, and then it expands and expands, and they take on more and more, and then before you know it, I mean, you're up 300-500 jobs.
Well, 300-500 jobs, but I mean, if you look at just the LIT facility in St. Bernard Parish, when fully operational, it's going to mean 18,000 direct and indirect jobs to the state of Louisiana, and they're all going to be in the New Orleans region. So, It's a compounding effect, and the basic jobs, the manufacturing jobs, the distribution jobs, the assembly jobs, those are the jobs that create secondary and tertiary jobs. They also create the need for more residential, more retail, and a stronger, more diverse economy over a long period of time.
Yeah. So when we think about this and the impact that it has in the greater New Orleans area in a decade, I mean, obviously, momentum builds more momentum, right? And do you feel like we're in that stage now where people are saying, hey, you know, they've got a lot going on down there. It seems as though they've been able to get over that first two-year trial, you know, when you open a business up here of the sum of incredible magnitude, that there must be a lot of stuff going on there that makes it easy for businesses to thrive.
Yeah, you know, again, going back to the Global Star example, or Empirical, which is a company on the North Shore that they're an engineering company that focuses on electrical infrastructure, and they're in essence doubling their operations and going to over double their capacity there, but also over double their workforce. You know, there are numerous examples like that in our region where you can grow and scale a business in our markets, but. You know, the future, I'd say that if I had to handicap it from my perspective, and I think Michael probably has probably a better perspective, but I'd say that we're in the midst of the beginning of a good 10 to 20 year run, at least in our geography, where we're going to see more fundamental businesses come here, more of, like I said, the manufacturing, the, you know, logistics, transportation, distribution. A lot of technology companies, there are some advantages to being here for those as well. And when we talk to outside companies that are looking at our jurisdiction, we're not selling them on Louisiana or New Orleans anymore. They already know. They want to take a strong look at being here. And it's a very different value proposition when we're trying to bring people to this market.
I think if I could just add something here, Newell, that I agree with Chris completely that we're at the beginning of a really good, probably 10-year or more run. I think that the global trends and the macroeconomic trends are so favorable that absent some type of black swan event, you know, even we can't mess it up. We're going to do great in manufacturing, in maritime, in energy, in defense, in aerospace over the next cycle. The real question is, are we taking this time and we have the momentum, have the money, have the energy to make the structural changes so that when we get into a less favorable circumstance, either due to the economy or due to having less political alignment, we backslide not as badly? Because the history of this place is boom and bust. If we can use this current boom to mitigate the future bust, then we're going to have the recipe for long-term growth.
But in that, I mean, that kind of gets back to the basics, right, about setting appropriate priorities. And it seems as though we have a long history in this state of we have this innate ability to just squander cash at record levels on stuff that don't return much, you know. And hopefully, if we're going to hit this 10-year period, that we get smart, you know, like we have a lot of legacy costs, underfunded pension systems here,
mm-hmm.
Big time problem, underfunded educational system, you know, here, big time issue, and other issues as well. And, we, you know, and a lot of these are not glitz and glamorous things, but man, they just eat away at government, right?
Yeah, we got to get the basics right. You know, one of the things that we're working on now is bringing sewer and water board underneath DPW. That's a good example of something that's not glamorous, but can be profoundly important going forward.
Absolutely. No doubt. Chris Abadie, thank you so much for joining us. I think you made it through this process with Michael Heck with your reputation intact. So congratulations on that as well.
Yep, take the W, Chris.
Thanks. No, appreciate the opportunity.
Have a great weekend, Chris. We'll be right back with Michael Heck's final thoughts. Stay with us.